The New York Philharmonic. From Avery Fisher Hall in New York City, this is Martin Bookspan, speaking to you by delayed broadcast and welcoming you to another concert by the New York Philharmonic. The broadcast is made possible by a grant from Exxon Corporation. Andrew Davis, the music director of the Toronto Symphony Orchestra, returns as guest conductor of the New York Philharmonic for this broadcast concert. And as soloist, we have the distinguished Polish-born violinist Henryk Schering, who will be heard in the violin concerto in D minor by Sibelius. The concert will begin with the Dances from Galanta by Zoltán Kodály, and in the second part of the program, we'll have the Symphony No. 6 in E-flat minor by Prokofiev. A note in the original edition of Kodály's Dances from Galanta explains the origin of the work. The note reads, Galanta is a small Hungarian market town known to travelers between Vienna and Budapest. There, the composer passed 7 years of his childhood. At that time, there existed a famous gypsy band, which has since disappeared. Their music was the first orchestral sonority which came to the ear of the child. The forebears of these gypsies were already known more than 100 years ago. About 1800, some books of Hungarian dances were published in Vienna, one of which contained music after several gypsies from Galanta. They have preserved the old Hungarian tradition. In order to continue it, the composer has taken his principal subject from these ancient editions. Kodály composed his Dances from Galanta in 1933, and the work was a commission from the Budapest Philharmonic Society, which was celebrating its 80th anniversary in that year. Kodály emphasized the dances associated with the ancient verbunkos, or recruiting dance, which, with the variety of tempo and mood, from a solemn lento through an andante maestoso to a furious allegro molto vivace conclusion, gave him a scope in which he portrayed the rather impulsive temperament of his dance-loving countrymen. The music is brilliantly scored for modern symphony orchestra, and I'm sure several of the dances will be particularly familiar to those of you who perhaps don't even know the origin, which is the common ground that traces the beginnings and the development of all of the dances in the score of Kodály. Kodály, along with his compatriot and his contemporary Bartók, was active in researching Hungarian folk music, and that element of incorporating Hungarian folk music runs as a common thread through many of his own concert pieces. Kodály was born in 1882, and he died in 1967. Our guest conductor, Andrew Davis, is at the front of the stage, bowing, and in a few moments he will conduct the Dances from Galanta by Zoltán Kodály.
Thank you.
The Dances from Galanta by Zoltán Kodály, played by the New York Philharmonic under the direction of our guest conductor, Andrew Davis. And now, as Mr. Davis returns, he motions for the Philharmonic's principal clarinetist, Stanley Drucker, to rise. Mr. Drucker, of course, responsible for all those clarinet solos during the course of the Galanta Dances by Zoltán Kodály. And now, as Mr. Davis goes to the backstage area, the stage will be slightly reset before we have the violin concerto in D minor by Jean Sibelius with Henrik Schering as the soloist.
What do you know about Hitler and the rocket that became his secret weapon? Not much? Okay, try this one. Do you know that some scientists now claim that dinosaurs are not extinct, but are in fact birds? And how about this? Have you ever heard of a chimpanzee who can speak the sign language of the human deaf? You mean you're not familiar with these various phenomena? Good, because we'd like you to learn about them and many more wondrous subjects on the award-winning public television series Nova. Every week, Nova is guaranteed to enlighten and entertain you. You'll learn about Eskimos, computers, even what the sunspot mystery is all about. Nova is a documentary series that takes you beyond your everyday world, but always with a very human look at how your everyday life may be influenced. Nova is television at its best, every week on PBS. Be sure to check your local listings for dates and times.
Jean Sibelius was an aspiring violin virtuoso before he became a world-renowned composer. It's significant that Sibelius composed only one concerto during the course of his creative lifetime, and that, almost inevitably, was for the violin. He was 38 when he completed the first version of the violin concerto. However, he was not satisfied with it and revised it in 1905, and it's the revised version that has taken its place in the international repertory. Henrik Schering is at the front of the stage with our conductor, Andrew Davis, for the Sibelius Violin Concerto.
Thank you. Thank you.
Henrik Schering was the violinist with the New York Philharmonic under the direction of Andrew Davis in this performance of the Violin Concerto in D minor by Sibelius. And at the end of the performance, I'm sure you heard the several bravos that came up out of the ranks of the orchestra for this performance by Henrik Schering of the Sibelius Concerto. And Mr. Schering has been recalled. He's taking a solo bow at the front of the stage here at Avery Fisher Hall. The first American performance of the Sibelius Violin Concerto was given by the New York Philharmonic in November 1906. The soloist, Maud Powell. Henrik Schering and Andrew Davis have been recalled, and the two of them are now at the front of the stage Mr. Davis has asked all the players on stage to rise as this audience response to the Sibelius Violin Concerto continues. Henrik Schering, making his first appearance with the New York Philharmonic as a soloist since 1972. And obviously, a welcome return it is indeed. It's good to see the music of Sibelius returning into the active repertory. There was a time, a decade or so ago, when it had fallen into neglect. But these days, there's a very healthy revival, not only of interest in the music of Sibelius, but also in performances. And this is the second sequence of performances of the Sibelius Violin Concerto in New York in just a few weeks. A few weeks ago, Viktor Tretyakov was soloist in a performance of the score here in New York with Lauren Mazel and the Cleveland Orchestra. And the performance of the Sibelius Concerto brings us to the intermission period on this broadcast concert by the New York Philharmonic. In this second portion of our broadcast concert by the New York Philharmonic today, Andrew Davis will lead the orchestra in the Symphony No. 6 in E-flat minor by Prokofiev. Before we heard the Sibelius Violin Concerto, I mentioned that the first American performance of that work was given at a concert of the New York Philharmonic in 1905. The same prevails with Prokofiev's Sixth Symphony, which was given its American premiere in 1949 by the New York Philharmonic when Leopold Stokowski conducted it. The symphony is one of personal tragedy and heartbreak, and I'll have more to say about that in just a few moments.
You are listening to the New York Philharmonic radio broadcast over KUSC Los Angeles, 91.5 FM. Pinchas Zukerman will conduct members of the Los Angeles Philharmonic in a concert this Wednesday evening at 8 o'clock in the Leo Beck Temple in West Los Angeles. Zukerman will open the concert with Bach's Brandenburg Concerto No. 3 and will then perform as soloist in Mozart's Rondo in C. Also programmed are Haydn's Symphony No. 49, La Passion, the String Symphony No. 10 by Mendelssohn, and Mozart's Symphony No. 35, the Hofner Symphony. For further information, call 476-2861. That number again is 476-2861.
In my estimation, the Prokofiev Sixth Symphony is one of the great works of the 20th century. It was composed in 1946 and finished on February 18, 1947. The first performance was given in October of 1947 by the Leningrad Philharmonic Orchestra under the direction of Yevgeny Maravinsky. There was a fairly cold reception afforded the score at that point, and not much later, Prokofiev was one of several Russian composers on the receiving end of an absolute withering blast by the Soviet cultural dictatorship, condemning Prokofiev, Shostakovich, Khachaturian, and others for modernist and formalist tendencies, whatever that means. The symphony is perhaps the last great work of Prokofiev, because after that denunciation of early 1948, he suffered failing health, several heart attacks, a stroke, and the music that he composed in the last 5 years or so of his life is rather feeble compared with this Symphony No. 6 and the great works that he composed earlier. The symphony is in three movements. The first movement is marked Allegro Moderato. The second is a long, brooding Largo. And then the third is a Vivace. The characteristics of the first two movements are gloom and anguish. And in the last movement, Prokofiev suddenly shifts gears and composes what, at least on the exterior, seems to be a lighthearted and rather frivolous piece of music. But in Prokofiev's own words, I did not want the finale to be regarded merely as a gay appendage to the preceding movements. And so, very near the end, the dark, brooding melancholy of the principal theme of the first movement returns, And then the symphony ends in a heart-rending catastrophe. Andrew Davis conducts the Sixth Symphony of Prokofiev.
Thank you.
The Symphony No. 6 in E-flat minor by Prokofiev, played by the New York Philharmonic, under the direction of our guest conductor, Andrew Davis. And as I said before we heard it, this score was introduced to the United States by the New York Philharmonic under the direction of the late Leopold Stokowski in 1949. Andrew Davis has been recalled. The players of the orchestra have risen. And now Mr. Davis turns and bows to the audience here at Avery Fisher Hall in New York City. Again, I must repeat my impression that the Sixth Symphony of Prokofiev is one of the great works of the 20th century. A work still too infrequently performed. A work which perhaps is the summation of all for which Prokofiev stood. Again, Andrew Davis at the front of the stage here at Avery Fisher Hall. And again, the players of the orchestra have risen at his bidding. And now, once again, Andrew Davis goes to the backstage area.